Morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone. If you're joining us online, we want to extend a happy Mother's Day to you also. We appreciate you tuning in live or even after the service is over via podcast, our YouTube channel, whatever it might be, but we're thrilled that you're tuning in. This morning is Mother's Day, but the story that I want to talk to you about goes way beyond mothers. Can I say this? I need to talk to every female today. And it's interesting, when you start reading articles about days like this, you find out people don't want to come to church for a couple reasons. One, if you're a female and you don't actually have a child, or maybe you had a child and you lost a child, or maybe you tried to have children and were unable to, today can be a very painful day for you. So here at Navigation Church, we celebrate women today. But I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit. But then I've read other articles finding out this statistics. Men don't like coming to church on Mother's Day either, because traditionally the pastors beat up the men to do better for the moms. So that's the route I'm going today. No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. So men, I think there's going to be something for you to take from this, but females in general, I just have something I need to tell you, because I believe God has a bigger plan, and if we lose focus on the big point, then we'll miss the main point that we've been called to here in life. And so the book that I'm going to actually be referencing all morning is a book by the name of Ruth. How many have ever heard of this book before? So in my opinion, the book of Ruth is much like a woman. At first glance, you usually can see its beauty. So you look at the book of Ruth and you find out that this mom went with her husband to a faraway nation. And while they were there, calamity struck, and she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, and eventually she's trying to come back home, and her two daughter-in-laws want to journey with her. But there's a time in that journey where one daughter-in-law goes back to her home country, but another one by the name of Ruth comes with her back home. And in it, you see the beauty of a daughter clinging onto something that she sees better than her. You find a mother-like figure eventually helping her get married and redeemed by a man named Boaz. And it's just a beautiful, can I say this? It's a beautiful love story. So at first glance, you see the beauty of the story that you're reading. But may I tell you, this book, like I said, is a lot like a woman. Because there's a natural outlaying beauty that you can see about it, but the more time you spend with it, you realize how intricate the beauty actually goes. Because the book of Ruth is not about a woman, just the name Ruth. It's not about a mom named Naomi. It's not about a kinsman redeemer by the name of Boaz. It's actually a beautiful love story to God and his church. Because you have this woman who went to a foreign god, like Israel so often did, but while there, her two sons, like an Israel and a Judah, there was a split eventually to die off, but then Israel, Naomi, needs to make her way back, and there's a kinsman redeemer there that wants to cover. But it's not just for Israel, it's also for the church. And Israel helped the church come back and find this kinsman redeemer and cover them and eventually buy back to have a healthy, proper relationship and give his life for. This story is so much like a woman, because if you read it once, you think you know her, but the more time you spend with her, you realize the more intimate you can be with her. So that's why I chose the book Ruth today. Some of you followed me through all that. Other of you did not, and that's fine. That's why we record this, for you to go back and read it again. It's why you have ongoing conversations with your girlfriend or wife, because the more you talk to her, the more you start learning, and that's what we're going to do today in the book of Ruth. Can we do that? Okay, so the first thing we do in the book of Ruth today is we have to see the big point is that you have to see there's a big plan. The big point of us talking about today is that all of us need to see that there's a big plan. Because, say this name with me, Naomi. So Naomi is a mom with two boys married to a man. And in the land that they were living, Bethlehem, there was a famine happening during this time period. Now, why was there a famine happening and what was going on? I'll let you know, we're going to cover that next week. I normally don't tease sermons like this, but I'll let you know. Today, we're talking about a woman, Naomi, who's a Wonder Woman. Starting next week, we're going to be going into Father's Day. We're going to start talking about men. So next week, we're going to talk about a man named Boaz and the men of this story. But today, we're focused on the women only. So this woman, this wife, traveled to this far nation with her husband. But what they were seeking was, they were actually seeking food because they were in the middle of a famine. So there was like this corporate famine happening in Bethlehem, but these individuals didn't want to go through what everyone else was going through because they wanted to seek personal pleasure. They wanted to seek personal need. So, and they ended up leaving the place, it's actually called the House of Bread, to a foreign nation called Moab. Now, if you don't know what Moab is, it's a great nation that hated Israel. They always tried to kill Israel. It was a nation full of pagan gods. Actually, there was one time, it's this great story, Moab wanted to attack Israel, so they hired this guy, this soothsayer, if you would, this witchcraft guy, to actually put a curse on Israel. And he kept coming back, and he's going, hey, I can't. They're blessed by God. I'm trying to curse them, and I can't. And they're like, we'll pay you more. And he's like, you can pay me everything you want, but I physically can't curse this nation. And then he finally goes, but you know what you can do? Since we can't curse them, why don't you send your women down there, and I bet women can distract them. And it worked. So the women went in, started intermarrying, and how many have ever got in trouble because you kind of hooked up with the wrong girl? That's what this is all about. So now you have this Moab, this pagan nation that's sitting over there, and you have these covenantal Israelites, these people that end up going there trying to seek pleasure in that place. But something very interesting happens. They go to Moab, and Moab, by the way, means washpot. It's a place that's never been cleaned before. Here's how they used to, make wine would be the best way to say it. They would smash up grapes, put them in a bucket, and over time, all the sediment would fall to the bottom of the bowl. And then what they would do is they would tip the bowl out into a clean bowl, and hopefully as they're tipping the wine into the new bowl, all the junk stays in this bowl. And then they let this new bowl, all the sediment kind of fall down, and they tip it once again. So the more it's kind of cleaned out, the more it's washed through, the more purified the wine is. And this is a place that's never gone through washing. So it's as dirty as you get, no purification. And ultimately, sometimes when you're going through something bad, in order to make you feel better, you go to somewhere worse. Have you ever done that? And honestly, it's almost like self-sabotage. Like, things are so bad here, but look how bad it is over here. I'd rather be great in the land of losers than average in the land of healthy. And so we run to some place that isn't as healthy. So eventually she leaves there, and it's because they were looking to find health. They leave, her husband dies, and her two sons die. So you think you have it bad until you go to a place that you have it worse. And in a little bit, she actually expressed to us how bad it gets for her. And so she gets there, and she's seeking these natural needs that she has. So now I have one phrase that I need you to walk out of here today with. Everything that I've said before is for this moment here, the next few minutes to talk through it with you, because there's somebody in here, there's some people in here, a few of you that need to hear this. And here's what the word of God is for you today. There's going to be a time in your life where you got to kiss it goodbye. Okay? And I know some of you just want to say, yeah, I say this with me. Kiss it goodbye. Some of you need to smile a little bit more because you're like you're with something right now. There's something attached to you. There's something that you love that's still with you. But you know this thing that you love can't go with you. And so you need to do this. Kiss it goodbye. Yeah, you got to do that with me. We have to. It's Mother's Day, and that's my request today. Don't think it works like that. Okay, ready? Let's try this again. Everyone, go. Kiss it goodbye. Those of you online, I know you're not doing this right now, and you have to. You got to tune in. So, like, you need to send us a message. I kiss it goodbye. How would you spell that? How do you spell? Record yourself and send it to us. Kissing it goodbye. Because here's what ends up happening. So Naomi now is in this pagan land that's never been washed out, that's worse than her, but somehow she thought if she went to a place that's worse than her, she could find life. She eventually gets to this place that's worse than her. Not only does she not find life, life gets worse for her, and she's there for 10 years. How many have ever been in a season that seems like it's been going on and on and on, and you go, wait a second, I came to this place because I thought I was going to be better, but now that I'm in this place, I'm actually worse. How many go, okay, now that I'm here, I realize that it's actually better somewhere else, but yet I can't seem to find my way out. Am I by myself? Or is your deafening silence is me because I'm hidden at home? So now after 10 years, she goes, I have to go home. I have to go back. Where? To the house of bread. to the house of promise. Because it's so interesting how we will actually walk away from the spiritual promises of God because we seek the natural needs that we want. So she turns to her daughter-in-laws, which have really no relationship to her at this point. Their husbands are dead. Naomi cannot actually supply for them because that's what their husbands are supposed to do. She turns to her two daughter-in-laws, which by the name Orpha and Ruth. Orpha, by the way, this is really interesting. How many have ever heard of a woman by the name of Oprah? This is where her name comes from, but as a child, she couldn't pronounce it properly. So that's why she's known as Oprah now, but it's actually Orpha. Ta-da! That's like my one fun fact of the day. It doesn't mean. So all week long, I've been using the word Oprah because it's easier for me to rehearse, and then I went, oh no, I got to change it back on Sunday. So Orpha and Ruth are the two daughter-in-laws that come to her. And she says this, she goes, as Naomi, she goes, daughter-in-laws, you need to go back home. Maybe you can remarry. Maybe you can find a new husband that can supply for you. But for me, I got to go back home right now. And you had Ruth, and it says this, Ruth clung to her. And I love this because some of us need to be a Ruth in here today because she is talking to Naomi. Naomi has been talking about the promises of God, the house of God, the provision of God, the destiny that God has for this entire nation. And what Ruth was saying was, hang on, I'd rather cling to something I've never seen before than go back to this pagan place that I've lived in that is unclean and unwashed, and the only thing I ever taste is sediment of life. Which, by the way, you have these people around you today. You wonder why you go through what you go through, and it's because it isn't you telling people you believe in God that lets them believe in God. It isn't you quoting the Bible that proves to people that you know God. Here's what it proves to you. When you are going through stuff and people can't figure out how you're making it with your head held high, and you say, by the way, I've been washed out, your testimony is what makes people want to cling to where you're going. So now you have Ruth that clings to where she's going, but Orpha does this very interesting thing. She leans in and she kisses Naomi. And then she goes back home. And I made a couple notes here because there's some places in our life that we have to kiss goodbye. And the first one that I realized Naomi had to kiss goodbye was a plan that never was a God plan. God never wanted her to go to Moab. And you go, but wait, this was what I felt that I was called to. I'm glad that you felt called to start this business, called to get into this relationship, called to go back to school, called to do whatever it might be. But there's a chance you felt called to move a place that you weren't supposed to, but it never was a God plan. You thought this dream ended up being a nightmare. You thought this thing that you were birthing ends up actually being a fairy tale that God was never blessing. And here's what you have to do in your life. You have to kiss that goodbye. Because if it isn't a God dream, you're going to keep feeling like a failure, but you're not a failure. God's just trying to get you back on the road that he's always called you to. So unless you kiss this dream goodbye that never was a God-ordained plan, you're going to continue feeling like a failure as a person. God isn't calling you to feel like a failure. God's calling you to kiss that goodbye so he can get you to the place that he's always called you. How many can look back at a place in your life where you go, I failed there? But then start asking this question. Was I ever called to actually be there? Was I called to build that, start that, say that, speak that, connect with that? And if you look back at it and you go, wait a second, I was never supposed to be in the land of Moab. Wait a second, I'm a failure because I put myself in a place that I was always going to fail at. Guess what you need to do? Say it with me. Kiss it goodbye. And if we don't kiss that goodbye, you're going to continue being stuck for an elongated season in the land that's never going to bring you life. You got to kiss goodbye. And then when you see Naomi and Orpha kiss goodbye, you almost have to ask this question. How can they walk away? If they're able to walk away from you, let them go. If they're able to walk out on you, let them go. Because if they can walk out with you, they are probably never called to walk with you. I'm either hitting a lot of you at home or I'm not saying this correctly. Because there's people in my life, and by the way, I can give you a list right now that I'd go, wait a second, as a church, I know we have this spot, and I know we have this ministry, and I know there's this anointing, and I can look back at this person, and go, they could fill perfect holes there. I remember close personal friendships that I had that I felt like I could be open to and talk to, and somehow they left. Now I had to reestablish new relationships I could build to. God, why aren't they walking with me anymore? Listen, if they were able to walk out on me, they were never supposed to walk with me. And if they walked out of you where you were in life, guess what? You were never supposed to be tied with that person. Maybe for a season. Maybe to get you where you are. But, you know, sometimes the people who got you where you are can't be the people that will get you where you need to go. And if they're able to walk out on you, I would say this. You got to kiss them goodbye. And by the way, that can be a very painful thing to do. But all who left couldn't stay, and all who stayed can't leave you. That actually needs to be very securing for you. That if they left you, they can't leave you. But then I saw something interesting as you're looking at this. Orpha kisses Naomi goodbye. When's the last time you got rid of something you hated and you kissed it? Don't you only kiss what you love? See, right now, I'm talking about places in your life and you're thinking this sin, this issue, this pain, this past, and you have all these negative things tied up with this thought right now. I got to change it on you. Because this seems to be something that she's loved. What is it, a place in your life that you love that seems good? But this thing that seems good, you don't have the strength to carry the thing into your future that isn't assigned to your future. See, it's easy to look at this and go, well, she never was supposed to go back home, but wait a second, I love this thing about me. But this thing that I love about me can't actually be with me for me to become the person I've been called to. Can you see that? That it's not always bad to get rid of good things. But what if you have 10 good things about yourself, but you only have the internal fortitude to carry on with 6? But those 6 good things about you that you love end up becoming the great things that give you an agape care for the world around you. She actually kissed goodbye the thing that she loved in order to go to the place that God had called her. And then I wonder how much, and by the way, this is me totally reading into the story. I wonder how much prayer went into this decision. God, help me. Give me the strength. Should I do this? And I wrote this one phrase down. And if you're a tweeter, Facebooker, if you want to do hashtag NavMoms, get your pictures afterwards, but then post this, here's a thought for you. Never ask God to do what a decision has to do. Never ask God to do what a decision needs to do. Because we can ask God for strength to give us the decision, but I don't need to ask God to pay my bills for me. That's a decision I need to do. God, help me be faithful to my wife. No, how about I just be faithful to my wife? God, help me be a good father. Now, you could ask this, God, the places that I don't see that I'm failing my children, help bring me strength there. But guess what? At night, I can choose to sit in their bedrooms with them. I can choose to tell stories with them. Yesterday, we had the opportunity. So, ladies, we have a small gift for you at the end of service with some flowers. And I went to this place to get them. And as we went in the back door, long story, we said, hey, is everything going all right? And she goes, we had one delivery driver get bit by a dog, fall, and break his hip today. It gets worse. Hang on, you're going to enjoy this. So at their expense, I apologize. But the second delivery driver got hit and totaled the vehicle. So they're like trying to make life work. And I got my NAV shirt on with my NAV gear in the back. And I'm like, well, God bless you. Hope things go well. And then finally, the owner of the shop said, hey, Pastor, could you pray for me today? And I'm like, today? We're doing it now. I brought my 3 boys together, and I had my 3 boys with us. We prayed for them, and my oldest boy then just prayed out. And I'm telling you, blew my prayer out of the water. It was fantastic. And then I said, you know what? Help give hugs. And if you don't know my little Silas, he's a hug machine. And it's borderline a headlock, I'll be honest with you. Like, if you don't stop hugging, he will choke you out. So they're hugging, and we're walking out, and I take him outside, and guess what? I didn't have to pray that God helps me demonstrate how to love God in all these areas. Guess what? God, I just did this, and I demonstrated it to my boys. I think there's times where we lose the will of God because we keep praying for him to do something that we should just do. God, should I go back home, you know, to the covenant that I was a part of, to the house of plenty, to the land that I rejected, to the place that I actually was full? God, should I do this? And if so, could you bring a limo with a driver, some Don Perignon so I can enjoy my, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce that. So anyone? Or you're not going to answer it. And you're like, oh, we don't talk alcohol in church. Okay, so moving on. So like all of a sudden, like, if you give me this and I'll do what I'm called to. Hang on a second. No, you don't keep praying to ask God to do what we should just do. So Naomi kisses goodbye, which, by the way, there's places in your life today I'm going to encourage you to kiss a goodbye. There's places in the past that keep haunting you that you gotta kiss it goodbye, because you're never gonna move to the future that you're being called to, holding on to the past that's drowning you, but your destiny keeps calling for you. There's places in your life that are healthy, but you don't have time for them anymore. You gotta kiss it goodbye. But then in kissing it goodbye, Naomi goes back home, and you're gonna know exactly how Naomi feels, because easy for me to say. Naomi comes walking back into her village, and everybody starts going, hey, is that Naomi? Hey, is that her? Hey, is that her? And it says that they were asking about her. And if you really look at it, it's fantastic. When you look at it, here's another way that we could say it. The whole village started gossiping about her. Ever feel like someone's getting all up in your business? I actually wonder if sometimes people have a hard time coming back to church, because they left church and they assume everybody in church is talking about them, which I'll give you a FYI, if you feel like gossiping, don't come to me, because I can't do it. Why? Because I would not, if I gossip with you, you're going to assume I'll gossip about you some other time, and I won't. Here's what I will do. I'll be praying for you, and if you're watching right now and you don't know if you want to come back in the door, no one's talking about you. When you walk in the door, though, we will be glad to see you. So Naomi comes back in, and everyone's like, is this it? And says, hey, where's your husband at? You know, and like, well, he's dead. You know, like, where's your boys at? They passed away also. And then they said, Naomi, it's so good to see you. And she goes, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Why? Because I went out full and I came back empty. No, that's wrong. No, she was empty because she was hungry, so she left. But now, after leaving, she came back and realized, hang on, I was full when I was in the house of God, but when I sought pleasures outside of it, I realized what true emptiness was about. And by the way, this isn't about go to church on Sunday. This is about finding your life in the house of bread known as God. And there will be times that you will crave something else. There will be time that an outside force, an outside land, an outside God calls to you and says this, I can fill you up. And you'll go, you look good to me. And you get in this, like, this trance. And because you can't stop thinking about the drug, you can't stop thinking about the porn, you can't stop thinking about the alcohol, you can't stop thinking about the lust, you can't stop thinking about that. And you're in this trance. You're like, I will go get full. Then you get there and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm more empty now than I ever was back home. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Where do we fill ourselves? Can I say like this? They're the sins of empty carbs. Someone write that one down. That's Holy Spirit. The sins of empty carbs. How many know, if manufacturers wouldn't make empty carbs taste so good, I wouldn't have love handles. Right? But you think if you go eat this enough, you know, them double stuffed Oreos, God, you are. That's manna. Just so you know, that's what children of Israel ate in the wilderness. But like, if you didn't make it taste so good, I wouldn't keep running to it. But here's the interesting thing that happens is I get a sugar crash afterwards. And I know I'm going to get a sugar crash, but I still do it. I'm going to get a hangover, but it doesn't matter. I still do it. I know that I'm going to have regret afterwards, but I still do it. Why? Because it's the empty carbs of sin that attract us. But you go to those places. After you go to those places, you come back and went, man, I thought I was hungry until I walked away from God. I thought I was depleted till I walked out of the covenantal house in relationship with everyone else. So she comes back and he goes, listen, You have to understand this. I did walk out, but you need to know the lessons that I've learned. And then that's where you end up finding that Naomi had found her purpose. Because Naomi realized the big point was there's a big plan. And I don't know, have you heard me say Naomi a few times today? It's not called the Book of Naomi. It's called the Book of Ruth. Hang on a second. The book hasn't been about Ruth yet. Like, you're two chapters in. And the only thing you know is this Moabite woman clung on to the arms of this woman by the name of Naomi and said, I'm going with you. But by the time Naomi went through her process, she realized that her process was about someone else. I need all of us to hear this. There's places in your life that you have to kiss goodbye. But here's the next thing you must know. Your life's not all about you. You selfish, self-centered. Oh, wait. Sorry. That was supposed to be internal monologue, but it came out. So, listen, if we make life all about us all the time, no one's better. But Naomi went through all of this, and she eventually goes to Ruth, and moms, women, grandmas, stepmoms, you need to hear this. Ruth had no biological connection to Naomi, but Naomi decided to be a mother to her. And Ruth had all the energy in the world, but didn't know what to do. Naomi had all the knows what to do, but not the energy in the world. So what do moms, and by the way, this is a generic term to all females right now, you have the head knowledge that someone else doesn't have. And the last thing that you want to see them do is walk out on God, to go to a house named Moab in order to try to find something to fill them. But all they do is they go out there, and guess what? They get a disease. They get an STD. They get regret. They get abuse. They get abandoned. And the whole time you're sitting there going, listen, you can learn from the mistakes that I have been through. Let me mother you. So Ruth, you have all the energy. Go to the fields and start harvesting. And when you do it, oh, you found yourself a man. Let me tell you the healthy way to approach a man. Men, no, actually go ahead and take offense to this. Men, I don't want my girl to approach any man. I'm going to let her know that all boys are bad. I am. You know why? Because I remember me. But because I remember me, I now know what I want her to look for. So today, when she got, Cammy said, Cammy's my wife. She goes, hey, do you have time? I'm going to throw Mariah's dress on real quick. I said, absolutely. So I stood in the bedroom, 5 minutes, waiting for Mariah to get dressed. Mariah came in and started showing me my dress. And I go, spin with me. And we're spinning in our bedroom. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, I will be the man that you're called to one day. I'm going to demonstrate that. But guess what? There was a mom in the other room going, let me send you to a man that you need to be looking for. Naomi, the book's not about her, but it's all about her. But Naomi didn't ask for the headline spot. She didn't ask for her name to be on the top of the book. Here's what she said, Ruth, let me help you. Because of the life that I've lived, the past that I've been through, I need you to know you're going to have selfish desires. You're going to have internal longings. But you need to know that the big point is that there's a big plan and God's in that plan. So as a mom, can I position you to a place where you can sit at the feet of this man? Mothers, you don't have to have a biological child today to mother someone. The entire story of Naomi is about a woman who had no biological connection to a woman named Ruth. But because she was willing to pay the price to allow a daughter to come near her, and I'd even go, allow a son to come near her and walk a journey with her and to communicate what she knows that's inside of her, Naomi forever changed the story of Ruth. You're called. You're called. You're called. You're called. You're called. You're called to be a Naomi to someone. You're called to find your Ruth. So don't walk out on God's big plan today. Don't think that it's all about you. And every place in your life that you need to kiss goodbye, let it go. Because if you let that go, you'll probably find what God's called you to. You know, this beautiful story about Boaz. Again, I'm going to cover tomorrow or next Sunday maybe tomorrow if you show up to the office. But so next Sunday, it's this thought about Boaz, who's actually a picture of Jesus. And Ruth is instructed to do this. Go sit at the feet of him. And in sitting at the feet of Jesus, he will make you his. If you're here today, maybe this is your Mom's Day gift to your mother, and you're here, and that's why. Maybe a friend has invited you. Possibly you're just tuning in online. You've been hearing about us, hearing all the buzz of the greatest church in all of the Metro East area. And think of that. I love you guys for that. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, you know what? I've been wanting to know more about God, but I don't know how to do it. I'm going to invite you today to just go sit at his feet. You know, if we sit at his feet, he takes care of the rest. But don't pray to him to make a decision that you need to do. You this day can simply do this. I choose to go sit at the feet of Jesus. And then in that, you can be connected to him. Actually, here's the way we would say it here at the church. He can become Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul. So if you're here today, and I've been telling this story about this woman who eventually found a man, I want to tell you, the individual, that you can find a man. But it's not just any man, it's a God man who stepped out of heaven into earth to die for you. Could you imagine having a husband that would die for you? That's who we have. You know, the church is actually called the bride of Christ. So men, congratulations, you're the bride. But man, there's no other place that you'd rather be than a husband that would die for you. If you're here today and your heart's kind of beating and you're in your head, you're going, yes, 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 but you're not sure what to, I'm going to invite you just to say the word yes right now. And actually, I'm going to have you not just say yes, I'm going to have you say the phrase, I do. So could I ask you this? Could I have everyone just close your eyes, bow your heads? And then that way I could, you don't feel like there's any obligation. You don't feel like there's any pressure that people are looking at you. If you're here today and you go, you know what, I'm ready to give my life. I'm ready to get married, not to the past that I've always lived in, but to the future that I've been called to. I'm ready to give up this wash pot of a life that I keep trying to find life from, but I just desperately can't, and I'm ready to become new. If that's you today and you want to say, I do, to Jesus Christ, could you just simply raise your hand in the air just so I can see that you've made that decision? I see that hand right there. That's awesome. If you're online right now, there's a good chance a tab's popped up in front of you with the same decision for you to make right now. If that's you, you are a click away from making a life-altering decision that will not only change your destiny, but most likely change the destiny of people around you. And can we all say this prayer together right now? Dear Jesus, I stand at the front of the altar, face to face with my groom. And today, I say, I do. Become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And may I be found sitting at your feet, allowing you to cover me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just say yes and amen to every person who has said that prayer today, maybe for the first time, or maybe they left for a season, and now they've come back from Moab. God, whatever the reason, we say yes and amen, and we celebrate that with them today. For everyone watching online that made that same decision, God, we are as excited about that as if they were sitting here and we could hug a neck afterwards. But now, God, I also just say a very special prayer for every person sitting in here right now, that you feel like there's places in your life that you need to kiss goodbye, every place that you feel like there has been a failure. But the failure isn't upon you as the individual that you couldn't do. The failure is because you were in a place that you never should have been, and God's releasing you from that place right now. I say, God, we can kiss that place goodbye. I pray for the place that you feel like people have left you, abandoned you, walked out on you. I say we let them go. Because if they couldn't have walked with you, they can't stay with you. And the place that you're going, you will find the people that will be able to sojourn with you there. So God, we do kiss them goodbye, but then there's places in our life that we love. There's places in our life that we've lived with for a long time. There's places in our life that still give us affirmation and support. But God, it's not the thing. We're not supposed to carry. We don't have the strength to carry those things that aren't assigned to us in our future. God, give us the strength to kiss them goodbye today. We thank you for the internal fortitude to make this happen today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. In just a second, I'm going to give it back over to Heather, and then I'll be back to just say one last thing to moms. If you're here today and you made a decision for Jesus Christ, your next step is real simple. There's a sign back there that says next step. I'm trying to make it easy for you to know what to do. How do I connect with Christ? There's a guy back there by the name of Roy. Roy wants to connect with you. He wants to answer any questions that you might have, talk to you about baptism, gifts of the Spirit, all these promises that you get with knowing Christ. But also I want to say this, that if you're here today and a part of the sermon really hit home to you, we're going to have communion to my right at the end of service, but then also to my left, there's going to be prayer teams. And if you're sitting there going, hey, not only do I need to kiss something goodbye, I need to release it. I got to get rid of it. I want to invite you to come up to our prayer team so they can continue ministering at the end of the service.